Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I'm Dave Schrader, your host. Along with me this evening, we've got Tim Dennis, producer and co-host of the show. We've got a great show for you coming up. We were able to get a fantastic guest. She is the actual inspiration for the television show on CBS, Ghost Whisperer, and she has been able to actually speak with and communicate with spirits since a very early age. With us this evening, we have Mary Ann Winkowski. Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Well, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, Mary Ann, before we get started, you are the inspiration for the show. Does that mean a lot of the shows are based on actual events and accounts that have happened to you?
Or work that I've done.
Okay, fair enough. Now, the one thing that kind of baffled me when we spoke earlier, you're not a psychic, you're not a medium, so can you explain exactly what it is that allows you to speak and see the spirits that the rest of us can't, and, you know, what the difference is between a psychic, a medium, and what you do?
Okay, I'm a paranormal investigator. I determine, basically, when somebody calls me up, if they've actually got ghosts in the house or squirrels in the attic, okay? You know, one or the other.
Sure.
A psychic can tell your future or tell, you know, something that is going to happen. I certainly cannot do that. A medium or clairvoyant, and these are my definitions, this is what I believe them to be. They speak to one spirits that have already crossed over,
okay.
Not earthbound ones, which are the spirits that I see and talk to. And there is definitely a difference.
All right, excellent. Now, how do the spirits that you deal with make their presence known to you? Is it simply in a visual form, like the TV show Ghost Whisperer, or is it more audible?
Nope, it's exactly the way it is that you see Melinda doing it every week. I see them exactly the way they looked when they died. Now, the body is what is mangled. That's, you know, and again, they really embellish because it's television and it's entertainment. You know, it's entertainment, but I don't see them mangled or their heads being carried or them puking. The bodies are what is hurt or, you know, died in a car accident or missing parts and pieces. The spirit is always whole. Now, if somebody, when they were healthy, weighed 180 pounds and because of a long lingering illness, you know, when they died, they were down to 120 pounds, they're still going to be thin, but they are not going to have, you know, they're not going to be yucky looking as far as bloody or gory or anything like that. And when I talk to them, I do not have to talk out loud. It's all done mentally. And in some instances, that's probably a good idea. But,
sure.
So I don't have to, like Melinda on the show has to speak out loud to them, which really looks a little silly sometimes standing on a street corner talking to nothing. But again, that's television. I do not have to do that.
Okay, so you can just speak with them in your mind.
Correct.
See, now that's where the confusion comes in for me and I think a lot of the listeners. You can speak to them in your mind and mm-hmm. you can see them when the rest of us can't.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not a psychic ability?
See, because my definition of a psychic is a person that gets information that they give to somebody to tell them what's going to happen. I can't do that.
Okay. All right, so your meaning theirs is just more precognitive, that they get that information to help you with
right.
a future event.
And see, ghosts okay. that I run across
mm-hmm.
because they're earthbound, if I, like yesterday, I ran across a man that was 40 years old, a spirit. He died in 1925 when he was 40 years old. It's January, 2006, and he is still, 40 years old. They don't age. They don't get older, shorter, taller, thinner, smarter. They stay identically the same. Same personality and everything. If they were a nice, sweet old lady when they died, they're going to be a nice, sweet old ghost in somebody's house. If they were ornery and grumpy when they were alive, that's the same way they're going to be as a ghost.
Wow. So there's just, but that's always a way that they will maintain for you.
Correct.
Okay.
And as far as not being able to speak to, or not doing it, I questioned that myself, why I didn't have to talk out loud. And I finally got my answer about 20 years ago. Language is no barrier. I can go to any country and talk to a ghost that has died and not crossed over in their language, and I understand it perfectly. It sounds like English to me.
Okay, so they do speak to you. They don't do, like, signs or that. So it's not like John Edward or a different type of appearance.
No,
these are actually talking to you.
Okay. Exactly. And because they're mediums, they only talk to people that have crossed over.
Gotcha.
And they get everything in symbolism. Oh, my way's so much easier.
Sure.
Oh.
Now, you explained briefly to me that before the show, that you're able to actually see in someone's home if there's a spirit there.
Correct.
Now, is that a form of, like, remote viewing, or are you actually seeing through the ghost's or the spirit's eyes?
I used to think I was seeing through their eyes because I could see the room that they were in, but then I can tell you if it's a man or a woman and what they have on, and so, no, for some reason, and it was actually like Plan B. When somebody would call me up and invite me to their house because they thought they had a ghost, they had seen some show on television, and of course, every time somebody watches one of these, goofy movies on television, every symptom that they think they've got in their house, from flies in the attic to,
sure,
who knows what. So
my bleeding walls shouldn't worry me right away?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
He's better paint. What could I say? So I would, drive to people's houses, and usually 60% of the time, 70% of the time, there were no ghosts. And this one particular day, I went, and I went to three different houses, and I was not living in the city that I did this. It was like an hour and a half drive, got caught in a snowstorm. Anyway, to make a long story short, I had definitely decided I was not going to do this anymore. And my husband was really happy with it because he never knew where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in strangers' houses. And so I just went to bed that night, said my prayers, and I said, no, by the way, God, I'm not doing this anymore. If you want me to keep doing this, you're going to have to come up with Plan B. And I went to sleep, and that was it. And it was maybe a month later, I got a phone call, not like it is now. And this lady said to me, I think I have a ghost in my house. And I said, and why do you think that? And all of a sudden, I start seeing inside of her house. And it was freaking me out.
Wow.
And I said, wait a minute. I said, do you have a blue vase sitting on a gray stone hearth that has peacock feathers in it? Now, why would I ever know that? And she goes, yeah. I said, oh, my gosh, you do? She said, yeah. I says, I think I should come to your house. She had a ghost.
That's awesome.
So now if somebody calls and I can see inside their house, they've got a ghost. Some people won't even call me now till they clean their house.
I don't blame them. Tim's sweating that you might see the furry handcuffs hanging off of his bedpost.
You don't want to see my house, trust me. Marianne, I got to ask you, because I'm curious myself, can you actually see us in the studio we're in right now? Are there ghosts in our studio?
Everybody always wants to know that.
Sure. I got to know. I got to know if somebody's watching me work other than my boss.
Actually, you do. There is one ghost there.
There is?
Yes. And he's in a room that has, I've been sitting here trying to figure out what kind of room it is. It's almost like there's an old copying machine or something in there. There's boxes piled.
Yeah.
That's where he's at. He's in that room.
Can you describe him to us at all?
Yep. He's about 35 years old, thin, tall, longer hair, Clean shaven, no glasses, jeans, t-shirt on. It's just like he's sort of hanging out. Have you guys had a lot of electrical equipment wrong in the studio?
Actually, in one of our studios, we've always been explained by the building management that it's just something having to do with the circuit, but the lights flicker.
Mm-hmm. That's him. Is that the studio that has the glass window looking in?
Describe it a little bit for me.
It's like a window wall. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like you could, if you weren't.
Yep, you're on it.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that it?
You bet.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That's yeah. That's where he was standing when we first started talking.
Huh. Okay.
Now, I know you can't speak to them because they're not face to face. Is that correct?
I'm not in the same space with them. Right.
Okay.
If I was there, I could talk to him. I would find out who he is, when he died, why he's there, the whole 90 years.
And then find out what, you know, how to help them. Is that your key, then, is to help them pass on and move
right.
through?
Right. Another thing that I do that Jennifer or Melinda does not do on the show is that I can create that white light that they did not walk into when they died.
Okay.
And I watch them walk into it, and when I can't see them anymore, they're gone. You guys have heard of near-death experiences where you see a bright white light but you don't die?
Sure.
Okay, when you die for real, that white light is right there for you. It's there for everybody. Everybody attends their funeral, too. They're usually standing close to the foot of the casket. And women will, you know, check out the flowers and what their hair looks like and what the clothes are. The guys, it's a guy thing. They have to count how many cars in the funeral procession to the cemetery. The more, the better. And the little prayer service that the priest or the minister has at the cemetery, as soon as that little service is over, these spirits will normally walk into that bright white light. Now, I'm Catholic, so that means heaven to me. But, you know, everybody's got their own perception of what that is, crossing over the other side, eternal rest, out of here, over there, whatever.
Sure.
But nobody's pulling you. Nobody's pushing you. When you're alive, you have free will. You have free will when you're dead, too. And
really?
If you don't want to go to that light, you don't have to go.
That was my question. I was wondering why would they be stuck here? Do some of them just not know they're dead?
Oh, how do you not stand at the foot of your casket and know you're dead?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'll go stand in the corner for asking a stupid question.
No, but really, you know, okay, suicides hardly ever cross over. They definitely have some unfinished business.
Okay.
Somebody that's murdered. They're not going to cross over till they tell somebody who killed them. A young mother steps off a curb and gets hit by a bus. She's got a 2-month-old at home and a 4-year-old. You seriously think she's going to leave her kids?
I gotcha.
Okay, so there's... And people can be attached to their houses, to their Don't ever buy diamonds from an estate sale. I will almost guarantee you you'll bring home a ghost with you.
Wow, Tim, you better... you better go return that.
All that bling bling I got at home has got to go.
I told you getting Snoop Dogg's ring wasn't a good idea.
No.
Hey, now, real quickly, in the event that you can't see into their homes at this moment, does that assure the listeners that there's definitely not haunted, or can the spirit just be missing or not there today?
Okay, if somebody came into your house yesterday smoking a cigar,
mm-hmm.
and I came into your house today, you know how I could probably still catch a whiff of the cigar smell?
Gotcha.
Okay, if a earthbound spirit has been in somebody's house within the last 3 or 4 days, I can usually pick up, like, residue from them being in the house.
Okay. Could you give us an explanation for the listeners? I know we've got a bunch of new people that are getting involved in the paranormal. What is the explanation of an earthbound spirit?
Okay, well, go back to the cemetery. That spirit has decided they are not going into that light. That light will stay with that spirit for about 72 to 80 hours after the cemetery. That light's going to keep getting smaller and smaller. At some point, they need to go into it or they're going to lose it. They lose it, now they are earthbound. Those are the spirits I see and talk to.
So then you're the one that can reopen the garage door and help them park, is what you're saying.
Right.
Gotcha.
Now, let me give you a nice little mm-hmm. tidbit here.
Okay.
If you dream of anybody that died,
mm-hmm.
that means they've crossed over. Earthbound spirits It's very, very, very difficult for them to get into a dream. So anybody that you've dreamt of, that means they are where they are supposed to be.
Okay, great. Now, do you find that in your experiences, checking these out, that people are more haunted, or are they places and structures that are haunted?
Okay, that was one of the great lines from the first show, people aren't haunted, places are, or something like that,
right.
She said. I find it equally. There are ghosts that can be attached to a person. They can go every place that person goes. There can be ghosts that just like to stay in a certain house, and they don't necessarily have ever had to own that house. You know, I had some lady call me the other day, and she said to me, do I have any ghosts in my house? I said, yeah, you've got two. And she said, ha, I'm moving in 2 weeks. I says, ha, why aren't they moving with you? I mean, who's going to tell them they can't? I mean, they can.
What if you put a sign out on the door, no ghosts allowed? Will that work for you?
No.
So much? Okay.
No.
They just don't follow any rules.
No, they don't listen to anybody.
Now, can you walk us through your first recollections of having this ability, and were you frightened when you first realized that you had it?
My grandmother realized that I could see and speak to earthbound spirits when I was 2.5 years old. So... no, that was normal for me. It is still normal for me to see ghosts everywhere. The answer to your question is, I was 7 when I realized nobody else could do it.
Oh.
I was in Catholic school, and I'm definitely old enough where the nuns were in full habits, and, you know, they called them lavatories back then, not bathrooms. I have no clue why. And so we were coming back from a lavatory break, and I looked down the hall, and I saw this rumbled, disheveled-looking spirit of a man standing behind one of the little girls that was walking down the hall. And I said to Sister, as we got close to the classroom, there's, you know, this ugly-looking man standing back there behind Susie, and she looks down the hall, and she looks at me, and she looks down the hall, and she looks at me, and she pats me on the top of the head, and she goes, oh, that's just her guardian angel. Now, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Catholic grade schools or not,
right.
But hanging on the wall are these beautiful pictures of guardian angels with wings.
Sure.
I mean, holding beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed children.
See, that's just Hollywood.
That.
Dang it.
Right.
Not only do actresses have to be skinny, but guardian angels got to be pretty.
Beautiful.
Is that the story?
Right. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, didn't look like a guardian angel to me.
Right.
But, you know, I'm in first grade, so I thought, oh, when I go home, I got to ask somebody about this one.
Sure.
I forgot all about it.
Wow.
It was about 3 weeks later, we're out in the playground, and we had a recess, and again, the nuns used to guard us, and I have no clue from what, but they were out there guarding us, and I saw this guy shows up again, and I thought, oh, I never asked anybody about him.
Are you sure they just weren't filming an episode of Columbo?
Yeah, well, you know what? Pretty close. Pretty close. So I looked around, and oh, no, it was the same nun guarding us.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. So I walked over to her and I said, Sister, I says, that yucky man is standing behind Susie again. And she looked at me, she looked over at Susie, she looked at me, and I probably would have been okay, but about that minute I stopped my foot on the ground and I said, and don't tell me that's an angel. Oh, boy, was I in trouble. So that's when I realized nobody else could see him.
Excellent. Now, I've got to ask, too, in the show and in movies, the expectation is to send the spirit to the light.
Correct.
And there are times that are there times that light's just not an option and they've either stayed too long or they have reservations downtown instead of the penthouse suite and they just don't want to check in?
Okay. I have left. First of all, because I go to a lot of funerals, I probably go to 14, 15 funerals a month.
Holy cow.
All right. Well, these are total strangers. People invite me to the funeral to talk to their loved one for the last time. Think about it for a minute. You know, a lot of times that, you know, more than just where's the key to the safety deposit box, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've been to funerals over the years where there were killers that were standing at the foot of their casket in spirit form or child pedophiles. They all have the white light there.
Really?
Now, in my way of thinking, and it works in Marianne's world, okay?
Sure.
Everybody walks into that white light, and I truly believe somebody's standing there with a clipboard, because I don't think everybody's gone to the same place.
Sure.
But the white light is there for everybody, whether you choose to go into it or not. Again, it's free will, it's whether you want to go or not. You know, and again,
well,
I don't want
to... That seems kind of a crazy way to cheat. You can do all kinds of naughty and nasty stuff here and die and just decide not to go to hell.
Yeah, well, like I said, but what happens once you walk into that light? I have to believe that everybody's going, you know, where they need or deserve to go.
Right.
Marianne, do you get the feeling that people know what they're where they're going to go and maybe they're just not wanting to do
it? Oh, I think that's the reason sometimes why people don't go. And I'll tell you, and it's and this is probably like a crazy thing to say, but one of the greatest funerals to go to is the funeral of an atheist. Because there they are standing there, which like, oh, wait a minute, I thought it was just going to be a pile of ash, and here I am standing here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just heard the sadomasochistic side of our guest this evening. She loves when the atheists are screwed. That's good.
Well, it's not the way that they're screwed. Right. It's just that they are, you know, they've had a belief system their whole life that there's nothing after you take your last breath. It's, there's nothing, and here they are.
Wow.
And, I mean, in a sad, you know, it's sort of sad, though, too, because, you know, it's like, gee, what did they do there for their whole life? And now they're really afraid to go.
So I guess with my other question, when I said that, you know, has it ever just been too long? I know you said the light will get smaller and smaller mm-hmm. to go through. It's never really too long because as long as there's somebody like you that can reopen that light.
Well, okay, let me give you a little hint here, too. Okay, you die.
What are you telling me?
You decide you're going to stick around and give somebody grief, which I wouldn't recommend. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now.
My ex-wife's got it coming, though.
Okay. So, okay. So you decide... You know, whatever.
Sure.
So now, okay, so this being dead and being stuck isn't what it's cracked up to be, so you decide you need to go. You got to go look for Marianne? No. All you have to do is go to a funeral home that has a service going on. That spirit standing at the foot of their casket has that bright white light around them. That is not an individual light. That's a universal light.
Oh,
so all you
got
to do is go bebopping into that light, and you're going to be where you need to be. So nobody, none of your listeners should ever, ever be stuck. Now, they all know how to cross over.
So, but if I go and jump on the back of a really good Christian, I'm not going to make it to where he's going if I was the atheist?
Probably not.
Jeez, that's a jip. Have you ever had an experience where you were just unable to help a spirit cross over?
You know what?
That wanted to?
Sure. When I go into people's houses... they still have free will. If they don't want to go, they don't have to go. And I can't grab them and throw them in.
I mean, more along the lines, has there been a spirit that, you know, feels that they're done now and want to cross over, but just for some reason, they can't? You open the light, white light, and maybe it's like a bug shield, and they get deflected off it, or they can't enter. Is there any
No, I've never
like
seen
that?
One that can't enter if they choose to.
Okay.
No. I think there's a lot of different belief systems with so many different, you know, nationalities and everything. I know that Native American Indians, there is a group of them, or there's always some in a tribe that is their job never to go into the light. That is their, you know, like job to stay and protect the earth.
Oh, all right.
So, but every belief system is, you know, there's a sect of Orientals that stay on the earthbound for like a year. They're not allowed, in their religious belief system, they're not allowed to cross over. So they have been earthbound for a year.
Wow.
So, you know, it's amazing, you know, what belief systems people have as far as this goes.
Now, can we be haunted by the spirit of somebody that has crossed over? Can they come back? I know that's what the mediums can talk and deal with. Or are they talking to them more like their long-distance call in heaven or you know, window conferencing here?
No. Once you've crossed over, you can come back and forth with no problems, but you don't cause any of the problems in houses that earthbound ones do. The earthbound spirits do cause problems in houses. Once they crossed over, do not cause any problems. And again, it's really interesting. You can say your grandma died. and you were really close to her.
Sure.
And so before you go to bed tonight, tell yourself, you know, if I dream of Grandma tonight, I'm going to talk to her. And tomorrow night before you go to bed, say to yourself, if I dream of Grandma tonight, I'm going to talk to her. Eventually, when you dream of Grandma, you can actually lay there and talk to her in your dream. Just like we're talking, you can do that. People don't realize that. And dreams, they come in dreams because we are comfortable with that. You dream of Grandma tonight, you're going to get up tomorrow morning and you're going to call your mom and you're going to go, geez, I had the best dream of Grandma last night. She was cooking chicken soup and she looked so happy and healthy. You get up tonight to go to the bathroom and you see Grandma sitting on the foot of your bed, you're going to freak out.
Right.
That's not acceptable. So that's why they come in dreams.
So they come in dreams just to make it more acceptable for your reality.
Right.
So they're not scaring you. It's a more comforting
right.
thought.
But, now, okay, if I come to your house and you just finished cooking a big spaghetti dinner with a lot of garlic, okay, mm-hmm. the minute I smell that garlic, I'm going to be, whoa, right back in my grandmother's kitchen.
Right.
Her house reeked of garlic, okay? I go into a mall and a man walks by me wearing Old Spice aftershave. My father's been dead for 35 years already. Every time I smell that, I think of my father.
See, I would have been put back in a disco era, I guess. But we've got a special guest with us, Mary Ann Winkowski, paranormal investigator, Ghostbuster, and the inspiration for the hit television show, Ghost Whisperer.
If it weren't for ghosts and aliens, these guys wouldn't be getting any action at all.
Yeah, baby!
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the show with us. This evening we have a very special guest. Her name is Mary Ann Winkowski. She's a renowned paranormal investigator and Ghostbuster and the actual inspiration for the hit CBS TV series Ghost Whisperer on Friday evenings. Just before we went to break, she was filling us in a little bit about crossing over to the other side and how it's happened and why people are earthbound and why they decide to stay and go back. What we've done is we're going to take a call right now, Mary Ann. We've got actually a local celebrity on the phone with us. Her name is Annie Wilder. She's an author of a book called House of Spirits and Whispers. And Annie has related her story about her haunted home with us and has some questions for you to see if maybe there's something you can clue into in her home and see what's still going on there. Annie, are you with us?
Yes.
Great, Annie. Thanks a lot for joining us. Annie, this is Mary Ann Winkowski. Mary Ann, this is Annie, and I'll shut up and let you two do the rest.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Mary Ann. Well, I have a couple of questions. I'm pretty familiar with some of the spirits in my house, but I did have a Ghostbuster come back a few years ago, and she spoke to the main ghost, and that's an old guy named Leon. And he told her that things had happened in an upstairs back bedroom, and it sounded sort of mysterious. And he said he was staying in the house to protect people who lived there. And I'm wondering, he wouldn't tell Echo what had gone on in the back bedroom, and I'm wondering if you can get some more information on that.
Okay, first of all, you are calling me from your house, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a couple questions first. How many people actually live in your house?
Living? People?
Yes.
One. Just me.
Just you are in the house. Okay.
Right.
There are three spirits in the house. And that's who is there right now. Now, I cannot talk to them over the telephone. There is an older man in the house. He is not in an upstairs room right now, though. Do you have, what's that little room downstairs in the basement area where it's real wet?
That is the laundry room, and it's right off a dirt room that was an important room for Leon.
Okay, well, that's where he's at right now. He's in that room.
Cool.
So there's a woman that is standing. She's up a flight of steps, and at the top of the steps, there's a window.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where that is?
Yep, that's at the top of my step.
Okay, that's where she's standing right now. Now, she is very interesting. She is dressed probably from the 1920s or 30s. And I don't think she was any part of this original house. I get the feeling that she followed you from somewhere.
Okay.
The other one that's there is a younger man. He's in his, maybe late 20s. And he is almost dressed like, I want to say Amish, but in the turn of the century, everybody looked like that.
Right.
So I don't think he's Amish, but that's the way he's dressed. And do you live on a main street?
I live, the street that goes alongside my house is a pretty busy road. It's one of the main shortcuts.
Okay. He likes to sit. Do you actually have do you have a covered porch on this house?
Yes.
That's where he's at. He likes to stand there on the covered porch and watch traffic go by.
Interesting.
So this is something that he's absolutely fascinated with. Now, because you have three of them in the house and who knows who else over the years, you're also a bit of an antique collector, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could easily bring somebody home with you with that, too, especially that one mirror that he has. It's square on three sides, but it's got like a scrolly top. You know the mirror I'm talking about?
I have a mirror up in the attic that actually my sister was just storing for my sister. I'd have to go look at it more closely.
Okay, I think you have somebody that's attached to that mirror that comes and goes.
And
so it could be then, that would make sense then, if it's your sister, she may be coming between you and your sister's house.
My sister, both of my sisters have had odd experiences in their house as well.
Okay.
With this younger fellow, do you get any feeling of whether he lived in the house at one time?
He may have been. And again, I can't tell because if he died around the late 1800s or early 1900s, who knows what was even here back then.
Right.
I know the house is an older house, isn't it?
Yes, it was built in the 1890s for sure and probably the 1880s.
Then he very well could be. You have an outbuilding on the property?
I have a garage that used to be like an old small barn or something.
Okay, and you have stuff stored up in the top part of that?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in there a lot too.
Oh, so cool.
So, but that's, like I said, and right now that's all that's there. I have no way of knowing. Who else except for the woman that's attached to that one mirror.
Okay.
Now, Marianne, when you do this, are they aware that you're seeing them?
No.
Okay.
If...
You're almost like watching on a security monitor.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Excellent.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, from what I've read in your book, Annie, that's... she described a lot of your house almost perfectly and some of the characters that you've mentioned as well.
Yeah, right on. The woman at the top of the stairs, two possibilities come to mind. One is that it's my grandma, and then the other is that there was a really...
Can you describe what she looks like, Marianne, the woman at the top of the stairs?
Yes. Yes, but see, I don't think... Well, she may be, whatever. She is... probably about between 70 and 75 years old. She's not thin, but she's not heavy either. Annie, I would say she probably wears a size 10 or 12, okay?
Okay.
That size. And she has mostly gray hair. She has glasses on. She's got cute cheeks. She's got, like, little round cheeks on her. But... like I said, from the way she's dressed, I would say the 20s or 30s is probably when she died.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Now, now I'm also picking up on, where's the quilt? Where did the quilt that you have come from?
I just was given a quilt in December from my neighbor's mom.
From your neighbor's mom. Did mom die?
No.
Oh, she's alive.
Yeah.
But there's definitely an old woman that comes through. Oh, gosh. that comes through. So maybe this ghost was wherever this quilt was, but she still comes in and out. You know, I'm really curious about something. How much heating and plumbing problems and electrical problems do you have in this house?
That's really funny. We have lots of stuff with lights going off and on in the house, but one of the main hauntings in my house, it was sort of the climax of the book, involved the radiators and some really scary, spooky whispering that seemed to come out of the radiators and pipes.
See, when you've got earthbound spirits in a house, they don't eat, they don't sleep. They need human energy to keep going. So any time that they can stress you out or aggravate you or scare you, they're getting energy from you. I do more houses where there are divorces in them because of a ghost than anything else. Have a good cry. You're exhausted after. If you've got kids in the house under the age of 10 or 12, the kids are going to have a lot of ear, nose, throat, and upper respiratory problems. They're not going to stay in their bed at night. They're going to get in bed with you every night at 2 o'clock in the morning. But adults will have a lot of unexplained headaches when they're in the house, or a lot of lower intestinal problems, or a lot of sinus problems. With three active ghosts in your house, my guess is that you have to be totally drained all the time, exhausted.
Well, I am a Reiki practitioner, and I do Reiki prayers every morning and every night, and I also exercise and things like that, and I do love my house, and I love the energy in my house, but I'm not home. I mean, I work outside the home, and I'm gone a lot. So
okay.
It's not like I am...
So that killed. Helps that.
Right.
Okay.
When you were talking about the quilt, this is interesting because I have a landing at the bottom of the steps, and then there's a landing at the top of the steps by this window. And the quilt, you said the woman was at the top of the steps.
Uh-huh.
And this quilt, I need to take it and wash it in a front-loading washing machine, and I haven't done that yet. So it's sitting on a little bench on the landing at the bottom of the steps. So that ties in, like, if she is attached to the quilt, she's within view of the quilt.
Right.
Which is in a weird spot. You know, it's not on a bed right now.
Right. But definitely, like I said, that's what you've got going on. But obviously, you know, and again, here's a really good example of everybody has different abilities and are aware of different things in their own way. You know, I see them head on, face on. I see exactly what they look like. But everybody has their own abilities and how they see them.
I want to thank you very much for giving us a call today, Annie, and giving her a chance to see what she could find out for you. That was Annie Wilder, the author of House of Spirits and Whispers. And if you do have problems or you have questions and you need her help, you can reach Marianne via her website, which is Marianne, that's M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, Ghostbuster, G-H-O-S-T-B-U-S-T-E-R, .com, right? Is that correct, Marianne? Okay, so it's MarianneGhostbuster.com is her website. You can access information on her and what she's able to do to help you out as well. Marianne, we have another call on the line with us. Her name is Margaret from Connecticut, and I will be quiet and let you two discuss.
Margaret? Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
Why don't you tell me a little bit what's going on?
Well, we have a multitude of spirits here, we think. Just a wide variety of really interesting things that happen that are verified by people who don't live here. Things like our neighbor will see somebody in the window and say, oh, who was that was visiting? And we didn't have anybody like that here. Lights going on in the middle of the night when nobody's around, that sort of thing.
Okay, now you are calling from your house, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now how many people actually live in your house?
Four people and a dog.
Okay. And how long have you lived here?
Since 1999.
Was this house vacant when you bought it?
No.
Okay. There is the only person that's there right now is an older man.
Okay.
And he is attached, or he's there because of a really, like, an old... It's either an old toolbox or old hand tools.
Okay.
I don't know if anything like that was left there when you bought the house.
No.
Or if if somebody in the house collects something like that.
Possibly.
But it's, and I don't know where, you know, where you would keep tools like that. I don't know if you, if there's a workplace in the basement or outside. But
in the
he
garage.
Definitely comes through the house, and I will tell you this, he's not real fond of the dog. He likes to scare the dog, tease the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And there are probably times that the dog can be sound asleep when all of a sudden the dog will just jump up like somebody kicked him or pinched him
yes,
or something.
Yeah, he does do that all the time.
Yeah. He's old enough where he's from that train of thought where a dog belongs penned up outside, tied to a box. Not in the house.
Now, Marianne, if I could ask real quickly, you said that he's tied to old tools. Does it necessarily have to be his tools, or like the last caller with Annie, the gentleman just liked to stand out on the porch to watch the traffic? Could he just be that maybe he was a handyman in his last, incarnation
here?
And he's just more like to hang out by the tools, or he's interested in the tools that they have?
Right, but he looks like he probably died in the 50s.
Okay.
And these are old carpenter hand tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I never know what that one is called. It has like a knob on it.
A plane?
Yes, that's what it's called. Yes. And so
he
really likes those, and that's where he hangs out.
Okay.
What was that, Margaret?
I said my husband did get one of those at a tag sale about a year or two ago.
That's probably, that was just the best bargain he got, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Probably right. Brought home this little man with him.
Oh, joy.
Well, excellent. Did that answer your question for you then, Margaret?
Well, I was wondering about, we do have, or have had, a young girl spirit here. And I don't know if she's still here or not.
I'm not picking up on any energy from any children in the house, not children ghosts.
Okay.
There is a woman that comes through on occasion, but she hasn't been there probably for about 3 days.
Okay.
And it's really hard because a lot of times you could just have, you know how in neighborhoods how there's always like one neighbor that seems to be like the mayor of the street that knows everybody's business and
mm-hmm.
what's going on? Well, you get this nosy ghost neighbor thing going too, where you've got one ghost that just snoops through everybody's houses. So maybe she stays in your house for 3 or 4 days and goes next door for 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, and this could be the case too. Plus, ghosts. Children. Now, kids that always talk about their imaginary friends, or you think they're their imaginary friends, are usually not imaginary friends.
Mm-hmm.
They usually are really, truly playing with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But your child gets older every year. The ghost does not.
Mm-hmm.
So when your child was 3 or 4 or 5 years old and had an imaginary friend, they probably didn't have an imaginary friend. It really was a ghost. But as your child gets older, the ghost doesn't think it's fun to stay around anymore. The ghost is only 6 years old, and now your kid's 8 or 9. They're going to leave and go to a house where there's kids more their own age.
Okay.
So that's why ghost kids don't usually stick around in houses that long.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your call this evening, Margaret.
Thanks.
And we're going to have a call come in right now. We have Susan from Seattle is on the line with us. And Susan, you think you've got something going on in your home you wanted Marianne to chime in on, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so Marianne, this is Susan. Susan, Marianne.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Marianne.
Okay, the first thing I want to tell you is that I don't know what you've been sensing or what you've been seeing, but you definitely do have two earthbound spirits in your house.
Mm.
Okay.
And they are both women.
Wow, all right.
The one looks to be about 35-ish, and from the way she's dressed, I'd say she probably died in the late 1930s, early 40s. And she looks healthy, so that tells me that she probably died some kind of an accidental death. People that die if they're sick usually look thin, and she does not. She looks very normal, you know, weight and everything.
Okay.
And the other woman is probably 60-ish, and she died more recently, maybe in the mid-1990s. Chances are you don't know either one of these people, because usually relatives, if they haven't crossed over, do not usually hang out with people. The first one, the younger one, she's a toucher. I don't know if you notice things moving a lot in your house but she likes to move things, touch things. She's noisy. She will bang things. She will close cupboards. She will move hangers. She's quite the thing. The older woman seems to be a little bit more laid back, but she's the one that if you have any lower intestinal problems or anybody in the house or unexplained headaches, she would be the cause of that.
Okay.
Now, she does look thin, so she may have died from, at that young age, she could have had some kind of a lingering disease.
Okay.
Interesting. Now, too, you know, this is funny. This is Susan, who's part of our show. She does the book reviews for us here on Darkness Radio. And the reason I wanted her to be a part of the show is I was out there visiting with her and a few of our friends about a month ago. And it's funny that you mentioned that the one ghost is a toucher, because I slept in Susan's room. She and her friends slept out in the living room. And I told her every time I'd wake up at night when the blanket was off, I could feel what felt like something poking me in the back.
Oh, this would be her.
Okay. And I said, you know, it almost felt like a cat's paw, the way it kind of pads at you.
Yes.
But that's funny that you say she's a toucher. And the other strange thing that I saw when we were there, I'm not clairvoyant. I don't usually see ghosts or things. But as we were standing there talking, out of her front closet, I saw this shadow figure just totally lean out of the closet, look at us, and then dart back into the closet, which I thought was kind of a strange little
Well, that might be the sense. One that's a little bit more of a fraidy cat, the quieter one.
Okay.
She may have been the one that, you know, would have been more laid back and hiding around the corner or something. You know, the strange thing is that this younger one, I don't know if you've had a lot of vehicle problems, but if you have, she rides with you quite a bit.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Susan? Do you have things that in your car you'll sense you're with somebody or weird mechanical or radio issues or something?
I've had weird things happen, especially with my my CD player. It'll stop and start back to the beginning of whatever I'm listening to out of the blue. I've had my CD player changed out 2 to 3 times because it keeps doing crazy stuff.
Okay. Now, you know what, Marianne, here's something else kind of interesting we haven't done with you in the past, but Susan has been waking up at strange hours, and she feels like there's something there, a presence with her, so she's been trying to do EVP work.
Okay.
And I've got some audio, and I thought maybe you being able to see spirits and know how they communicate, if we could play this audio. Tim, do you have it queued up in there for us? Yep. All right, why don't we go ahead and we'll play the first segment, which is kind of interesting, and this was recorded at your home, correct, Susan?
Yes.
About what time in the morning? You're doing these at about 2, 3 in the morning when you get...
Yeah, my dogs will start to growl and start acting very strange at odd hours for no reason whatsoever. And, of course, it wakes me up because I'm very aware of my dogs.
Okay.
And I've been getting a lot of K2 activity at that time as well, and I just started to record.
All right, well, go ahead, and Tim, let's play this first bit.
It's Susan. It's approximately 10 o'clock on Monday night. I'm in my bedroom with my condo. I've had K2 activity. Thought I would try again to communicate. I'm going to have someone come in that actually might be able to communicate with me, since we're having a hard time. I'm sorry I don't understand you. Would you like to, again, try to share with me what your name is? Did you follow me home? Do you need help? I'm turning off the recorder now.
What's interesting about that piece of audio, now, it sounded to me right when it started off like it said your name, Susan.
Yeah, I've been, when we cleaned it up last night, that was the consensus of the folks that were actually trying to upload that information.
Right, it sounded like it said Susan, and then I can hear what sounds like, you know, talking. It almost sounds like it's getting frustrated as the recording progresses, like it's having a hard time not being able to communicate. And then when you ask it if it followed you home, it almost sounded like a laugh to me.
Yeah.
And then when you said...
It's almost like a little laugh.
Yeah, and then you said something like, do you need help? And it, again, to me, it sounded like it said yes at that point.
Yeah.
Now, is that normal? Do the ghosts get frustrated, Marianne, when we're trying to communicate and we can't hear them?
Well, I think that if they are really, really trying to get your attention, they're going to keep getting more obnoxious, more pushy, the more that they're trying to get you to be aware of them. People that are seeking ghosts out, all right,
mm-hmm.
ghosts that want to be found will usually try to figure out a way to get your attention so that you do know that they're there. People that are not aware of it, again, they're not going to, you know, it's like if you have two kids, one kid is very sensitive, the other one isn't. The ghost is going to mess with the one that is, not the one that isn't.
Well, the reason I ask that is we have one more bit. Let's go ahead and play this. As I was saying, it seems to get more frustrated or louder, like it's, you know.
I haven't been able to hear it, so I don't know.
Okay, maybe Tim can pot it up a little bit.
I don't hear it either, Dave.
Okay, so. Well, we're getting it over our airwaves here. Go ahead and play this next bit, Tim, and this is the... That's just frightening. It's just like screaming.
See, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, it's coming through, and it's just, let's see, it's talking to.
The other thing, too, by waking you up, Susan, in the middle of the night like that, you put out energy because it's frustrating to you. It makes you angry that you're being, you know, woken up in the middle of the night like that, which is putting out more energy, which she's sucking right up on. It's almost like they're almost like energy vampires.
So they're feeding on her by irritating her, getting her agitated. They can walk in and just suck the energy
off
of her that way.
Right. When the kid gets out of bed every night at 2 o'clock in the morning and gets in bed with you, it's like before you know it, you're fighting with your spouse. You know, when is this kid going to stay in their bed? What's wrong with them? You know, no other kid does this. And the ghost is loving it. How easy is it to go into the kid's room and bump the bed, the frame of the bed, so the kid wakes up terrified and goes, climbs in bed with the parents.
But because it's yelling, she doesn't need to be frightened. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a demonic or an angry spirit trying to hurt her.
No, not at all. I think it's just you do it when you're alive. When you want to get somebody's attention or you're trying to make a point, you get louder and louder and louder. And
right.
So it's like if I talk really, really loud, they're finally going to understand me.
Yeah.
This is what she's doing. She's frustrated, too.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well,
but
Susan,
I really want to help her. I think my frustration is I do want to help. I truly do. And I can't understand her. So I'm frustrated. And through the conversations I've had with a K2 meter with the yes and no answers, yeah, very frustrated. And I pick up on that. I'm like, I'm sorry you're frustrated. I'm sorry I can't understand you. I really do want to communicate with you.
Well, a good book for you to pick up is When Ghosts Speak by Marianne. She gives you some rules of thumb that you can read on how to help deal with these type of spirits and get it taken care of.
Especially that one. The easiest way for that one to go is just write on a piece of paper on one side the closest funeral home that you have to your house and tell her, please go to this funeral home, Smith's Funeral Home on Main Street, when there's a viewing, and go into the bright white light and you can cross over. Just write it on one side of a piece of paper, you know, put it up, tack it on your refrigerator or leave it on your dining room table. She'll read it and she'll go.
Susan, thank you very much for being a part of the show.
And we'd like to thank Marianne Winkowski. She is a ghost hunter and a paranormal investigator. You can check her out on her website at marianneghostbuster.com, and we'll have a link to that on our website. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with my co-host, Tim Dennis. We thank you for joining us. And Marianne, we loved having you on the show, and we'd love to have you back again in the future.
Okay, let me know.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show.
You're listening to AM 1470 KLBB Brooklyn Park.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Introducing the all-new Mazda CX-5, featuring more connection.
Hey Google, where's the nearest Pilates class?
Safety that has your back. More discovery on the scenic routes. More passion in the details. And more control in changing weather. The all-new Mazda CX-5. More to move every side of you. See it in 5 films at MazdaUSA.com/5sides.
Google is a trademark of Google LLC. Sequences shortened and simulated.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.